Thanks, Dave. I think I always find it really fascinating, actually, that how things come together in a really nice way. And I haven't told Dave what I was going to be sharing. We generally don't do that. I like to have a surprise when he's speaking and so on. So, but it's really interesting, actually, that what I want to be sharing about this morning, there have been some themes that have come out already. But just over the course of the last few weeks, whilst we've been having a bit of time out and having just a bit of holiday time, one of the things God's really been speaking to me about is around that not everything that he speaks to me about is for me to then come and share to the church. And I'm really learning that there are things that he wants to speak to me personally about that are just for me. And I had this bit of a battle with God as I was thinking about what I wanted to share, because the thing that he had been talking to me personally about, I thought, was the thing that I was going to share. And it was great and all the rest of it. But actually, God's been really challenging me to just steward wisely what it is that he's speaking into my world. And I just think that that's really exciting. And I think probably after spending, 20 weeks of preparing lockdown letters and all of the rest of it, where I was, sharing for you all and encouraging you, actually, it's just been really precious to get back just me and God and what he wants to share with me. But I have got a word for today, which is that obviously, God speaks to me and I learn some stuff and then I share with you. But the thing that I want to talk about today is about perspective shift. And already we've seen through Rich's testimony and through what Dave shared first, is that actually sometimes we need to shift our perspective on things in order to move forward. And I just think this would be really helpful to us as we're still trying to navigate what is just a strange season. It just is very, very strange. And two areas where I've really benefited from having a perspective shift have been firstly around worship. And again, Dave picked up on this a little bit earlier around worship. And I suppose coming up to about the end of June, I was really in that place where I was struggling around the fact I was desperately missing corporate worship. I'd so desperately missed that time, when we're all together and we're singing and it's great and the band are playing, or we're at New Wine or whatever it may be. And I was desperately missing it. But what God really challenged me on was that actually I needed to shift my perspective about what worship actually was and just change the way I was thinking about it. And the only way I can kind of say that this happened was, most of you know I've been doing Couch to 5K, and what actually happened was in getting out just and running around the park with my worship music in my ear, actually it took me back to the place where, again, it's just me and God. It's an audience of one. I learned again how to just worship for him. And perhaps, the way I viewed worship had been, I know, maybe I was being a bit too consumeristic with it all and not respecting it for what it is. And it was only in that shift in perspective that I just got this new vision for what worship is. And that whole just being able to do that in a different way and understanding it's a lifestyle. It's not just about coming together on a Sunday morning or coming together at New Wine or whatever it may be. It's actually worship is a lifestyle. And ultimately, it's for an audience of one. So when I'm running round the park, or Dave, well, we call it shuffling. It's not really a run. It's a shuffle. It is getting quicker. But I worship. And it's just me and it's God. And it's great. So I've shifted my perspective there. The other thing that has been really interesting is we did take a holiday. We had 1 week away at Burford. And just to recharge, which was great. Again, just that change of scenery, just really beneficial after sort of being stuck, I suppose, in Bristol or in our community for a length of time. But what Dave and I did after that, rather than coming home, we stayed for another week and we worked from the caravan, which it was just fascinating how actually that helped us to just revive a bit in terms of the way we were feeling about work or get a new love for our work. And a lot of people said to us, gosh, I hadn't even thought about that. I could actually, yes, whilst I'm working at home, I can work anywhere. And for me, it was just great just to be able to have a different view out of the window, which then helped me when I was just trying to do some problem solving and things I've tried to battle with over the last few months at work just were, I was able to move on from them really quickly. I was able to be really productive just because we just changed the way that we worked in that time. And, you know, it has been difficult. And I think it was Rich Penske that just said, we can't deny that this season has been incredibly challenging on many levels. It feels like we've just had choice removed from our hands, and that can feel quite disempowering. But actually, we do have a choice, and we do have a choice to change the way that we look at things. You know, there's many things in this season that we probably have to change our perspective on. I know for me, it's like the way that I work and do my job on a day-to-day basis, how we do church. We have to look at that differently. And if we're not, then it's going to cause problems for us. And I sort of like think that if you find yourself struggling in a particular area of your life, whether that's an ongoing health issue, whether that's a financial thing, whether that's just a problem you've been battling with, it might just be that you just need to look at it differently and get a new perspective on it. It might just be you just need to change your view. But most importantly, it's really important to seek God's perspective on these things. And we have the ability to choose how to do that. And I think, as again, Dave just said, it was just a line he said before he moved on. It was that when Jesus is about, stuff happens. And this is the thing, is actually when we change our perspective and involve Jesus in it, stuff will happen. When he's in town, things change. Miracles happen. Lives are changed. Problems are solved. Circumstances are changed. And I've been thinking a lot about the woman with the issue of blood, and I just really think she's a fabulous example about perspective shift in many respects. There's many things in that passage of scripture where we read her story, but the thing that I've pulled out is that actually is about perspective shift. And as we know, she suffered for 12 years. She saw all kinds of help for her medical issues, and nothing changed. She spent loads of money, and she just kept going round in circles to try and resolve this health issue. But the thing that really changed this for her was when she heard Jesus was coming to town, and that made her switch how she looked at her situation, because she could see a way through her suffering. So I'm just going to read the passage of scripture in Mark. The story is referenced in Luke as well, but again, it has a slightly different emphasis in Luke, because actually the focus in Luke is around what's happening around Jairus's daughter and all the rest of it. So I'm going to read the main passage of scripture from Mark, and it's Mark 5 verses 25 to 34, and I'm reading from the Message version. And it says, a woman who had suffered a condition of hemorrhaging for 12 years, a long succession of physicians had treated her and treated her badly, taking all her money and leaving her worse off before. And she had heard about Jesus. She slipped him from behind and touched his robe. She was thinking to herself, if I can put a finger on his robe, I can get well. The moment she did it, the flow of blood dried up. She could feel the change and knew the plague was over and done with. At the same moment, Jesus felt energy discharging from him. He turned around to the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? His disciples said, what are you talking about? With this crowd pushing and jostling you, you're asking who touched me? Dozens have touched you. But he went on asking, looking around to see who had done it. The woman, knowing what had happened, knowing she was the one, stepped up in fear and trembling, knelt before him and gave him the whole story. And Jesus said to her, daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you're healed and whole. Live well, live blessed, be healed of your plague. And it was just the bit at the beginning where it just talks about the whole thing that this succession of physicians had treated her. They treated her badly. They took all her money. They left her worse off before. But she kept going around in the circle, spending her money to do that. And it was only when she heard about Jesus and perhaps he could be the one that could help her that she began to look at her situation differently. And there's three things that I think are important about when we're thinking about perspective shift and how to approach it. So they're very short things. And again, this is a very short word. It's just a series of just things that I've been sort of thinking about and mulling over. And you can take them and expand them as you want to. So the first thing And I'm not going to pretend that I know all the technical stuff around photography and lenses and stuff like that. I'm not going to talk about that. You'll be pleased, Chloe, to hear, and Fred will be pleased to hear. But I really think God wants us to get the wide lens out. We need to see the bigger picture. We need to think broader. I think sometimes we can narrow our lives or limit them. And in doing that, we're actually limiting God and the size of him and what he can do in these situations when we narrow it down. But if we get the wide lens out and look broader, we can just see how big God is and what he wants to do with us. And there's that wonderful scripture in Ephesians 3 and verse 14, and this is in the Message again, and it says, my response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength that Christ will give you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. And that just says to me, we just need to look bigger than what perhaps we see in the natural, what we see where, you know, we can't get through that particular situation. We need to get the wide lens out and look broader. And then moving on to point number two, again, this is in the similar vein. We need to live with our eyes wide open. We need to focus our attention on things. We need to not bury our heads in the sand. We need to not constantly be thinking about the small negatives of our world. Or for some of us, we tend to have that thing where we tend to take on the role of problem solver for all of the things that come across our path, when actually they're not things that we need to be picking up. Those are for other people to sort out. But for some of us, our natural tendency is to be the problem solver and the sorter out of all of things. But actually, we need to live with our eyes wide open to what it is that God's called us to handle. And what he wants us to do, and it talks about this in 2 Corinthians, is to live spaciously and not be hemmed in by circumstances that we find ourselves in or how we view ourselves. And 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 11 in the Message says, dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives, live openly and expansively. And I just think, for me, that just, it really speaks into me, who is a natural problem solver and thinking I can, you know, solve the world's issues in my own lunchtime. But actually, I need to live well with what God's given me to do, and I need to live fully as well. And I just think, yeah, don't be hemmed in to the situation that you find yourself into, which is interesting, you know, when we think about coming out of lockdown, where we perhaps have felt hemmed in by where we are. It's actually God wants us to live spaciously and fully. And I suppose lastly, in terms of these three points is, and I talked about this at the beginning, where I had to reframe my thinking about worship, is that we need to reframe and refresh our thinking so it lines up with God's perspective and his now word into our lives. We can't be living off old bread. We can't continue to do things how we've always done them. And this is all a big thing. And Richard has often spoke about this whole thing around not getting stuck in the continual cycle of going through the motions. If you're not seeing a resolution to an issue, you need to stop and change your perspective on it. Because like with the woman of blood, 12 years she spent going round in circles, spending money, and her situation wasn't resolved. You have to get a now word for your lives. It's so important. You can't be living off what you've lived off for many, many years, because there's always something fresh that God wants to say. And this is really hard, actually, because some of us aren't good at adapting to change. We want to do things how we've always done them because that's easy. But actually, God wants us to to move on and to keep moving and to not be going through the motions. And it's that whole thing about seeing things from his perspective. So Colossians 3 and verse 1 to 2 in the Message says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. You know, a perspective shift might take you to that place where you receive the miracle that you've been longing for. And it was certainly true for the woman with the issue of blood. And as I said, for years, she was looking in other places, but she needed to look to Jesus. And I just think in the end, okay, she probably did that out of a place of desperation, but she was looking in all of the wrong places to start with. And in Luke, again, where we see the story, it says, and this is from the Passion Translations, it said, when the woman realised she couldn't hide any longer, she came and fell trembling at Jesus' feet. Before the entire crowd, she declared, I was desperate to touch you, Jesus, for I knew if I could just even touch the fringe of your robe, I would be healed. And it's that word that she had come to that conclusion that, Jesus, I knew if I could only, then this will happen. And for some of us, you need to get yourself into that place where you can say, Jesus, I know, and I'm turning my face towards you, and I'm changing the way I'm viewing this situation, that you want to change this for me. So, and again, as we're sort of heading into autumn, and I suppose into a new term, it does feel slightly strange that we're in autumn already. You need to perhaps have a think about, where do you need to change your perspective to move to the next level of your walk with God? Or where do you need to change your perspective into, so you can get a fresh insight into a particular situation? We've all got a choice to make. And in changing our perspectives, it's likely that you'll get yourself to that place where you will experience breakthrough. You will experience joy. But it's in our hands to do it. It's not something that just sort of happens by osmosis. As with all things in our walk with God, it requires us to act and do something. We can't just sit and wait for it to happen around us. And we all have the choice. And I love this verse, and I'll just end on this one and then hand back to Dave. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, it says, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. And I really think that that's what God's encouraging us to do, is to make some choices, to see things from his perspective, to live spacious lives, to live with our eyes wide open and see what he can do to move us on. So amen. Just a short few words there, but I just hope it encourages you to maybe just change things a little, to adapt, do something different, walk in a different place, go to a different cafe, whatever it might be, do something different that will enable you to see something new. Amen.